It is approximately 1:40 p.m. Why don't we establish a quorum right now so we can move this meeting forward? Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Atkins, Berryhill. Berryhill here. Leyva.
Here.
Leyva here. Canella.
Here.
Canella here. De Leon.
Here.
De Leon here.
Fantastic. We've established a quorum. We know that Ms. Atkins will be joining us shortly. Why don't we start with file item number 2. We'll go file item number 2. And colleagues, we'll go 2 through 11. If you can take a quick look. We're going to go file item 2 through 11. If I can get a motion. We have a motion made by Ms. Leyva. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Atkins, Berryhill. Berryhill, aye. Leyva.
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Canella.
Aye.
Canella, aye. De Leon.
Aye.
De Leon, aye.
Thank you very much, Madam Secretary. A motion passes. We'll keep the roll open so Ms. Atkins may add on when she gets here. Let's go to file item number 1, which we have today's first and only appointee. That is Mr., and I hope I pronounce this correctly, Mr. Peter J. Cervinka. Chief Deputy Director of the State Department of Social Services. Mr. Cervinka, please join us. If there's anyone that you'd like to introduce, please do so. Immediately thereafter, give us a quick synopsis, and we'll go to questions and answers from the members.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you.
Welcome.
Very much. Room, the most important people in my life, my wife Lynn, daughter Zoe, son Ryan, and behind them my father Vasek and mom Claudette. They have been the hidden backbone of the opportunities that I've had in my life, and I'm grateful for their ongoing support. So again, you know, thank you for the opportunity to be here. I've been working with the State Department of Social Services now for over 7 years in the capacity that I'm before you today, but as a civil servant. It's been an incredible privilege to serve the Governor and Secretary Dooley and Director Lightborn. It's also rewarding to work with so many phenomenal colleagues at the department. Unique, perhaps, to many places, 95% of our employees self-report that they believe in the mission of the department, to help people, and that they believe at that same percentage that their work is directly connected to what they're doing. It's a really reflection on the opportunity the department has to make a positive difference in the lives of people, and that brings us back to work every single day. There are lots of things that government does in health, education, and justice that make a difference for people and that matter a great deal. But it's this department that meets the basic human needs of food, clothing, shelter, community-based care, basic fundamental health and safety protections for people living in licensed facilities. And that makes it really rewarding. It is the foundational place for all of that. We couldn't obviously do it alone. We like to think at the department we've done a great job modeling cooperation with the legislature, numerous stakeholders, all of the people served by our programs, providers, and many others that we interact with. So it's that rewarding and self-fulfilling nature of it that led me to be here in front of you today, and I very much appreciate your consideration.
Thank you much, Mr. Cervinka. Why don't we go to questions and answers from the members? We'll start with Ms. Leyva.
Thank you, Mr. Pro Tem. Good afternoon, Mr. Cervinka. Very nice to meet you.
Thank you.
I really had just one question, and I was at the hearing in November with the IHSS workers, mm-hmm. and I remember part of the testimony was that it was just, you know, it was only like 1% who weren't getting their paychecks, but that was like 33,000 people. Mm-hmm. So I was just wondering how that's coming along, if it's been fixed. If not, when can we expect for it to be fixed?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and appreciate the question. Yes, I did testify at that hearing. It was, in fact, 3%.
Okay, 3%.
3%, which, given the volume, we payroll over 400,000 IHSS providers every month, and we do it twice a month. So it's a tremendous volume. For comparison, it's basically the entire state government payroll plus the two university systems twice a month. This is tremendous. We think we do a really good job with it, as I said, but there are problems, and we've moved to fix it. Since we last spoke at that hearing, the California State Auditor came through and audited our payroll process. There weren't things earth-shaking that they had, that they uncovered that we needed to do, but they did have some recommendations for us. Largely, the department agreed with those recommendations and has efforts underway, particularly around the things that cause delays in the timesheets. The timesheet process is paper-based, and occasionally things happen. Coffee spills, numbers are illegible, they can't be read. And so those are what we call exceptions in the process. Mm-hmm. Those require manual handling, and given the nature of the program, it's not such that we can walk down the hall and have our boss sign a new version of it. We have to work via the counties with the providers and recipients to get those back. We've made some improvements in our ability to track that, to help counties track that. To be proactive with providers. One of the things that perhaps directly solution-oriented that I'm proud to talk about, at the end of May, we'll be making available in three counties, Riverside, Sacramento, and Yolo have agreed to pilot for us a web-based e-timesheet option for those who choose to use it. In addition to taking the paper out of the process for us to mail timesheets and for them to mail them back, there will be edits in that e-timesheet process that prevent things from happening that would cause them to be exceptioned out. It will also allow people to see edits that prevent things like with the overtime rules, there are caps on the weekly hours. We'll be able to avoid violations on the front end, so really protecting the availability of providers for people. The additional feature of this is that leveraging some of the investments that the legislature and the administration made to better serve blind and visually impaired clients through a telephonic option. This new e-timesheet functionality is going to be paired with a telephonic ability now to look up the status of timesheets. So assuming that the pilot in those counties goes well during the months, the latter end of May and June, and July, assuming it goes well, we hope to make that voluntary system available statewide for those who use it, and we think that will go a long way.
Sounds very promising. Yep. Do you feel at this time, though, there are less people who are not getting a paycheck on time than there were at the November hearing?
I can't tell you that today that situation has been dramatically improved. What I can tell you is that the number of exceptions has been on a steady downward trend. So that leads me to think it's a little complicated because caseload is also going up, but we think we're moving in the right direction. Earlier, about 8 months ago or so, we were averaging somewhere around 170,000 exceptions in a month, and we're down to around 145,000. So we definitely think that it's moving in the correct direction. A large part of that, of course, credit is also due to the counties and the labor orgs and others that have worked in consultation with us on training the recipients and providers on errors that they can be avoided and that kind of thing. So there's a lot of good work being done.
Great. I appreciate that. And please keep moving forward, because if you're that 1, 2, 20, 30, 40, 50 person who hasn't been paid, it dramatically affects your life. So.
Absolutely the case, and we're well aware of that fact.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Pro Tem.
Thank you very much, Ms. Leyva. Mr. Berryhill.
Thank you, Mr. President, and welcome.
Thank you.
I had a couple different questions for you. I'm just going to really ask one. I think it has to do with the CCI, Coordinated Care Initiative, and the proposal to terminate it in this upcoming budget year. Mm-hmm. If I have the numbers right, ending the program will shift over $600 million in costs to the counties. Does that sound about right?
That is correct. It's an operation of current law and not a proposal, but I can go into that in some detail if you'd like.
Okay. Based on the size of their budgets, I got a feeling that the rural counties will be impacted more from a single-year funding hit. Is there any discussion about whether this cost shift occurs in a single budget year or possibly phase it over time?
Yes, absolutely. So historically in the program, counties have had a share of cost in the program. With the implementation of the CCI, counties became subject to a maintenance of effort obligation instead. Program costs, of course, have continued to rise for very good policy reasons. Over time, caseload generally as the population ages, state minimum wage laws. But when the CCI was enacted, it contained a poison pill or an unraveling provision, if you will. Poison pill would be very strong. That if the Director of Finance found it to become fiscally imbalanced, that he would notify the legislature of that, and we would return to the pre-CCI sharing environment. So what you're referring to in the shift to county cost, of it's $622 million projected in the budget year, is basically a reflection of moving counties from the MOE environment back to their historical sharing ratios. It's historically been funded by 1991 realignment. All of that said, it's not a proposal, but the governor recognizes and in the governor's budget made the commitment to work with counties to see what could be done to mitigate the impact of that, including a multi-year potential negotiated solution that would recognize the impact that such a move would have. Counties currently spend about $1.1 billion, so obviously a $622 million increase is a substantial jump in a single year. In fact, today, Department of Finance is meeting again with the State Association of Counties. Finance has taken the lead for the administration in that negotiation. And we remain hopeful, as we do when confronted with difficult problems, that we will find a solution that everyone can live with.
Yeah, well, I would hope that the governor does have a plan if they do plan on cutting that off, because my rural counties just can't take those hits like someone like LA can, for example. So. Mm-hmm. Anything you can do there, keep that in mind as we move forward. And with that, that's all I got.
Mm-hmm. Thank you much, Mr. Berryhill. Mr. Vice Chair.
Chair, Mr. Cervinka and I just met a few minutes ago, and he answered all my questions. So I'll look forward to supporting him today.
Thank you very much, Mr. Vice Chair. Why don't we go to those individuals who are in support today's nominee. Those who are in support, feel free to go up to this microphone. I'd ask for brevity. Identify yourself and then go to the content of your supportive message, and then we'll go after that. So, first one.
Thank you, Mr. Chair Pro Tem and members. Kathy Sunderling with the County Welfare Directors Association of California, pleased to support the nomination of Mr. Cervinka to the position today. We work very closely with the State Department of Social Services. I personally work closely with you and your staff here in the building, but what you don't see is my members and my staff and me working closely as well with the state departments that we administer programs on their behalf. Our 58 counties administer pretty much every program that the State Department of Social Services run. And at times there are issues that get elevated, and I've worked personally with the nominee to work through those issues. We don't always start at an issue with the same side, but I will say he clearly does have a passion for the mission. Just as he said his staff do, he does as well. And we've been able to work through issues and get a compromise that is favorable to us and to the services that we provide to the people of California. Urge your support.
Thank you very much. Next witness in support.
Karen Kiesler on behalf of the California Association of Public Authorities, and also here for the 47 members of the IHSS coalition that signed a support letter on this confirmation. Just like Ms. Sunderling, we don't always start at the same position with Mr. Cervinka when there are negotiations impacting the IHSS program, but he's honest, he's always available, he gives us good information. We don't always have to end at the same point, even in agreeing. Those three components of being honest and available and listening are so important. And I would tell you, after 37 years of being a lobbyist, it's more important to have those things in place than sometimes somebody that's just a yes person for the administration. We trust him, we like him, we appreciate his passion, and we ask for your support.
Right. Thank you very much. Next witness to support.
Carol Schroeder with the California Alliance of Child and Family Services. We, too, work very closely with the Department of Social Services and with our colleagues at the County Welfare Directors Association. I have had the good fortune of knowing Pete Cervinka when he was at the Department of Finance, later when he was with the Health and Human Services Agency, and again now at the Department of Social Services. I will tell you, I was delighted when I heard he was appointed to this position. We have worked with him very closely through the continuum of care reform effort. If you are hoping to confirm someone who is a quiet leader with integrity, with an incredible work ethic, with compassion, with knowledge of the issues, and somebody who's a problem solver, you couldn't do any better than Pete Cervinka, and I encourage you to confirm his appointment.
Thank you very much. Next witness in support.
Tiffany White with the Service Employees International Union in support of Pete Cervinka. He's definitely had an open door policy with us. He's been very direct. And as Karen said, he's been a great listener. And we look forward to working with him in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. I believe last witness in support.
Robert Benson with the California Person-Centered Advocacy Partnership.
And I'm IHS client.
And I'm an IHSS client.
That's always good.
And strong support for Pete. And then I'm almost also testifying in support. My name is Marty Amoto. I'm a family member also with the California Person-Centered Advocacy Partnership and CDCAN, California Disability Senior Community Action Network. My sister, when she was alive, had developmental disabilities and used IHSS among also regional center services. Working with Pete and echo everyone's comments, it takes a special kind of person to hold the position he does, especially during difficult budget times when there was budget cuts and there were reductions or new ideas or new procedure were put in place that were very difficult for people receiving IHSS and also for the workers. Pete, as other people have said, has always been open and responsive to all of us, to family members, to recipients. He has shown compassion, and as Karen Kieser said, he has been honest with us. And I think that the bottom line is that means that's the most important thing that we could ask any public official. Okay. So strong support.
Thank you very much. Any other folks in support? Seeing none. Those in opposition? Seeing any folks in opposition? Seeing none. We have Ms. Atkins, who just arrived. Ms. Atkins, I know your colleagues have asked questions, and we want to give you an opportunity. If there's a question or two that you may have. Okay, fantastic. So we've heard Mr. Cervinka. Do we have a motion? We have a motion that's been made by Ms. Atkins. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Atkins.
Aye.
Atkins, aye. Berryhill.
Aye.
Berryhill, aye. Leyva.
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Canella.
Aye.
Canella, aye. De Leon.
Aye.
De Leon. Aye.
Fantastic. Mr. Cervinka, as well as your family members, your mother, father, and your two children, congratulations. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Madam Secretary, we're going to go back to the roll. File item number 2 through 11, 2 through 11. Please call the roll.
Senator Atkins?
Aye.
Atkins, aye.
Oh, fantastic.
Hey, what's going on?
Okay, we'll talk. Okay, right. With that, this meeting is adjourned.